Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm kind of like Russell Crowe's character in A Beautiful Mind.
Just 1 degree off, Billy.
I guess I don't mean that as a compliment to myself.
Billy Dukes, this episode is going to be packed with a lot of new information, which I am pumped about.
Yeah.
So let's whet everyone's appetite. What's the most important thing that we can take away from all this big news that we're going to share?
We're going to be talking Bass Reeves. We're going to be talking Yellowstone. We're going to be talking trivia. We're going to be talking about my t-shirt. But the most important thing that you need to know is there's two new Yellowstone shows coming in 2024.
Wow.
Wow.
Wow. I'm doing wow with my hands. Wow.
Oh, that's what that is. Because I told, all right, took a second there.
Okay, continue.
Figured out on YouTube. So the scoop here is we found out that final installment of Yellowstone is scheduled for November 2024. That's season 5, part B. That's a full year from now, which is like, but
buzzkill.
Total. But we got two new shows confirmed with an official press release from Paramount. The first is called, tentatively, 1944. And the second is called, tentatively, 2024. That one obviously picking right up where the Dutton family left off. If it is indeed a Dutton family drama in the sense that we know them, but it's a very modern day sort of show.
My confusion is with 2024 and it's picking up, you said, like potentially as if the Duttons, you know, flash forward. What's the difference of a season 6 of Yellowstone that versus a 2024? See what I'm saying? Like, wouldn't it technically just be a continuation of what's happening?
Well, it could be a totally new show. Okay. It could be set. I mean, it might not even be set in Montana. And the history of this is kind of interesting because this is the one that Matthew McConaughey would be attached to. But I will point out that he was not mentioned at all in the press release. Could be just because, like, we're in this writers-actors strike right now and they're not going to attach an actor's name to it because that would be promoting a show and that would be kind of crossing the picket lines. The other good reason, though, is that the deal's not done. The ink's not dry, or Matthew McConaughey won't be. I think probably it's the first, if I'm being honest.
People might be. I know I'm definitely. Oh, sorry. Go for it. Did you have more to say on that?
Nope. Go ahead.
I know I'm curious, and I'm sure others who are listening to this podcast might be wondering as well. With the two new shows, will any of them be kind of a continuation of like leaving off where we were at 1923, you know, like will any of them just kind of domino effect on each other?
Well, 2024 would seem to do that just based on what we've heard. But remember, Taylor Sheridan also said that he may make it set in a totally different place. Originally, it was introduced as it was going to have some of the same characters from Yellowstone in it. But he kind of gave himself an out there should he decide to write a show that is quite a bit different from Yellowstone. It could be in Oregon. It could be in New York. You know, it could be a lot of different cattle places, Oklahoma or something like that. 1944 is interesting. It would seem like that's going to build off of 1923. 1923 kind of deals with the effects of World War One. 1944 has World War II inherently. I think we'll have some of the same family members, maybe like just a little bit older, kind of like we did with 1883. In 1923. But keep this in mind as well. Both of those shows had different names originally. So this show may not be set in 1944 at all. 1923 was originally called 1932. And I think 1883 was 1886. So it could be like a swinging 50s kind of vibe. Or maybe like a 30s kind of deal. You know, we think we know what's going to happen, but we know nothing other than these shows are coming.
So really what makes you excited, Billy?
I think just that we're going to live in this sort of world or this space and we're going to get to tie up. I mean, let's be honest. What makes me excited? I'm going to get to fill out the family tree. Like, this is a whole new world for this family tree. It's all coming together. 1923 connected to 1944. We're carrying it on. Like, I'm just imagining the possibilities and the branches. I'm ancestry DNAing up and up in this place.
Y'all, ooh, if you have no clue what Billy is talking about, head on over to our YouTube channel and just type in Dutton Family Tree. Billy, and I commend him for his deep efforts in this. It took you a really long time. We've created an entire YouTube video of quite literally showing the family lineage and how everyone's related. Bada bing, bada boom. Go check that out because it is Billy's pride and joy. Maybe before his kids. I don't know.
I'm kind of like Russell Crowe's character in A Beautiful Mind.
Just 1 degree off, Billy.
I guess I don't mean that as a compliment to myself.
Well, y'all, you guys are listening to the Dutton Rules Yellowstone podcast. You can, as always, trivia and just questions, comments, thoughts can always be sent to staff@tasteofcountry.com. We read them. Also, mm-hmm. Words are a little hard for me right now. We read them. Specifically, Billy always loves reading them. So definitely never hesitate to send those in. And if you could kindly give us a 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts and a 5-star rating on Spotify. I mean, if you don't feel like we deserve 5 stars, you give us what you think is deserved. Hopefully it's 5 stars, but we truly always appreciate it. And also head on over to YouTube where you can see our bright and shining faces and feel free to leave thoughts in the comments as well there.
Well done. Are you ready to talk? What are we going to first today?
So, and I don't mean to sigh as I'm about to go into what we're going to talk about next. Let's talk about Bass Reeves.
Well, to get back to your sigh, and I do want to talk about Bass Reeves. Our homework assignment was thick this week. This was a big week in college where like every professor doubles down with reading assignments and tests because we had 2 episodes of Yellowstone and 2 episodes, if not more, of Bass Reeves. The first 2 episodes, albeit to kind of, and then you know, in addition to sort of our regular job. So it was a lot to kind of get through and organize to make this episode not 4 hours long.
Can I be truthful, Billy?
Cheers,
Bass
to that.
Reeves.
Go ahead.
Cheers. Amen. Cheers. Got my coffee. Got my cold brew. All right. Anyways, I fell asleep on the second episode of Bass Reeves.
Is that?
So sorry.
Is that reflective of your opinion of Bass Reeves or the show?
No. I think it was just the fact that I, during the day, we obviously with our normal work schedule, producing videos and stuff, that I can't watch a TV show and try to like listen to our audio as I produce things. So I just couldn't do it at the same time. So I did save watching an hour long video TV series. Two of those to the very end of the evening. And I was tired, Billy. I was tired.
Yeah. Well, the first one was a big one, and the second one was a more traditional 42 minutes or so of television.
Who's counting?
Paramount asked us to hold reviews until we've watched all 4. So I'll hold back my overall thoughts a little bit. I will say my first impression, though, was this is a show that's very heavy. Bass Reeves is no prankster. Like he is not a funny man.
No.
at all. And then also it just didn't stick with me. At the end of the night, I wasn't thinking about it like I have some other shows right off the bat. Like I was able to kind of watch and put it away and sort of move on with these first 2 episodes. Now that might change, and I'll get to kind of why some of those reasons are in a second. But early on, I'm interested, but I'm not just starving for episode 3 yet.
And surprisingly, I'm not starving for episode 3, but it was more interesting. I think I set the bar I set my bar pretty low on this, or of like, I don't think I'm going to like it. And I think I like it more than 1883.
Okay. I don't, the characters aren't as dynamic to me yet.
Oh, no, I agree with that one. I mean, that potentially might be why I did fall asleep a little bit in part two. But, like, it was one of those of I drifted off to sleep and let's say I woke up. I mean, yes, I might miss a lot, but you don't miss as much in, let's say, maybe even 1923 where you kind of go, wait, who are you? Yeah. I will say Dennis Quaid has a much larger role than I expect. I don't know why I thought he just was going to have a little bit of a blip on the radar. He has a large role.
Oh, yeah. Let's back up and kind of recap maybe what we see in these first two episodes. And remember, this isn't a Taylor Sheridan creation. Another creator named Chad Feehan created it. Taylor Sheridan's just the executive producer along with the star of the show, David Oyelowo. But the first two episodes sort of follow Bass Reeves from his days as a slave following a man named George R. Reeves in the Civil War. Reeves fought in the Civil War. I believe he was a major or a colonel. And he just made Reeves kind of go along with him to sort of help him out. Both of those characters are real life characters. Both Reeves, George and Bass Reeves are based on real life characters. So you can kind of read into the history. It seems like it follows the history as it's written in just some, you know, loose internet pages pretty accurately, including a scene how Bass gets away from his slave owner, this Reeves fellow. That seems to be pretty accurate. He eventually does free himself and goes and lives on a Native American land for several years, then finally comes back to his family and is enjoying life as a farmer for the better part of a decade when finally he's tasked to become a U.S. Marshal. Or at the end of episode two, that's when Dennis Quaid shows up, who is also a U.S. Marshal. His name is Cheryl Lynn, and they're very different types of lawmen. But I kind of think we're setting up a little bit of a yin and yang type relationship where they balance each other out a little bit. That's my thinking, even though right now they don't appear to like each other very much.
It didn't surprise me how bloody this is. It's not that I don't have the stomach for it, because that type of stuff doesn't normally bug me, but it was a lot, Billy. It was a lot.
So the first episode opens in the middle of a Civil War battle, and that was like, it wasn't quite as gruesome as Saving Private Ryan in the opening scenes of that. That was much more extended and much more gruesome. But it was very bloody. There was a lot of gruesome, sort of gritty death. There wasn't as much. Like it mellowed, I thought. There was some death, but there was nothing that was like, oh my gosh, what are we doing? Wow.
Minus Lynn, he killed.
Which guy?
Reeves. Oh, what's his, not Matt, who's the owner of Bass Reeves? Why did I just forget his?
George Reeves, Master Reeves.
George, thank you. I was
not dead. This is what you catch.
Wait, what?
When you watch all the way, when you don't fall asleep, you learn that he did not die. Because
wait, no.
George Reeves, his slave owner, does not die.
Yes. Are you talking about the scene? No, I was awake for this part. When his wife comes into where Bass used to live on their plantation, and she says, you know, you beat him. I don't remember what she said exactly, but pretty much saying like, you know, I'm not going to hurt you. He kind of essentially deserved what was coming from. But to my understanding, it was that
No, he's still alive. In fact, George R. Reeves goes on and becomes a Texas legislator. I think he was Speaker of the House in Texas after that. So he lives. I'm led to believe that he's going to appear, Shea Whigham, I believe is the actor's name. He's going to appear later in this series. There's going to be some sort of showdown between the two of them or something like that. Although I don't think it's fatal in either case, because history tells us exactly how Bass Reeves dies as well as how George R. Reeves dies as well.
I will say that same with Bass and George, that was a lot. That was when, I don't know if that's what you meant, how we messaged back and forth for work is through Slack. And when you said, Addison, look away, was it that scene that you were talking about?
No, I was talking about the opening scene, the opening fight scene.
Oh. Okay.
And I think at this point, too, we can kind of give everybody a spoiler alert, because we're probably going to spoil some things. So presumably you've already watched Bass Reeves. If you're with us, if not, skip ahead to maybe the Yellowstone portion of the show. That's why we include the time codes in the description sections, so we don't spoil anything. But one thing that did strike me about Bass Reeves is how descriptive is the word I can come up with. The relationship between slave and slave owner is sort of presented. Like, it really kind of shows a lot of the details, but not only how the slaves live, how they have to speak, what the relationship is like, and sort of that power structure. And you almost, and it almost kind of shows beyond just the physical and what we see, the emotional sort of torment, turmoil it causes as well. Like, I feel like there's a lot of movies that probably have done this as well, but we get as good a look into slavery in the 19th century as we did to Native Americans in the 19th century with shows like 1883 and a little bit for Yellowstone, which is interesting to me. I think it's good.
Well, and what is interesting is to your point of like, you really kind of get a better insight to what's happening. But I think with this show, kind of Bass Reeves being that main character, instead of kind of knowing what's happening, but seeing it genuinely through the eyes of someone who went through it, I think that's what's been interesting. So far, I mean, literally just two parts in, but I mean, even from the point of when he was running away and he came up to the men on the horses and they said, you know, who do you belong to? Mm-hmm. And he said, you know, George Reeves. And I just thought that was just, I'm learning a lot how, like you said, the dynamics between the master and slave worked.
It, the other thing, and this is a little bit of a criticism, is so far the lines between good and evil are not blurred at all. Like, it's very, very clear.
Correct.
And I think it's all the white men in the show so far are all the villains so far. And everybody who's native or black is kind of who we're rooting for. And while that's fine, I'm not offended by that. Like, I think to be a great show, those lines need to be a little bit more complicated. Like, you know, Cheryl Lynn is a good example. Like, I think he's going to be kind of a good guy in the end, Dennis Quaid's character. Mm-hmm. But right now, it's very clear he has very harsh feelings about American Indians. And I would guess by extension, he doesn't have too kind of feelings towards the black man as well, although we haven't seen that kind of racism quite yet.
I do think that's going to change. Like, I could see that.
Maybe.
I could see that changing.
I thought that too, but then I thought, well, that's going to kind of turn it into like a hokey sort of series, you know, where he's like, oh, well, Bass, I guess you were right. They can be all people. It doesn't matter about skin color. Because that's one of the lines that Bass Reeves says is like, it doesn't matter if it's, if he, what color their skin are, if he's black, white, or red, he says, we're all just men. Like, I don't think, I hope there's not ever a scene where Cheryl's like, well, Bass, you were right. You know, because that would be kind of cheesy.
I think it's going to be more so the subtle understanding of respect for each other. Like, I don't know if we're going to get the, you know, bromance hug. It's not really where I'm headed. I just think there's going to be this line of, okay, respect.
Did you recognize the boy who comes? So in episode two, Bass Reeves' wife buys a piano and it's delivered by a group of people, including a young man who is very fond of Bass Reeves' daughter, Sally. Did you recognize that young man?
No. I wish I had a picture of him.
The character's name is Arthur Mayberry. The actor is Lonnie Chavis. And if you watched This Is Us, the same actor played young Randall Pearson, Sterling Brown character.
Oh, wait, no. Yes, yes, 1,000%.
Yeah.
Wow, I don't know why. Yeah. No, I loved This Is Us. No, I totally know who that is.
Yeah, the same actor. I saw him and I couldn't put my finger on it. And finally, Sterling, another Sterling who works with us, pointed that out to me. And I was like, oh, that's where that kid's from. I knew it.
Good for him.
Yeah, I thought
that Lonnie's
was
killing it on at age. Oh, he's 15 years old.
Is that all? He has to be older than that in real life.
Nope. He was. What is it? We're 2023. No, we're in 2020. Why am I questioning that?
Yes, Addison, we are in 2023.
Never mind. I'll save it for after. Okay, let's see. 2007. No, he's 16 now. He was born in 2007.
All right. I guess I would have thought he was a little bit older.
I just 1 year off.
He was a little bit younger than I thought in This Is Us. But, and you know who we didn't see at all? We didn't see Donald Sutherland, who I'm very much looking forward to. He plays Judge Parker, who is the guy who's going to deputize Bass Reeves. Famous actor. We don't see him, but he's referred to towards the end of episode two. Do you want me to tell you how episode two ends so you don't have to go back and finish?
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. Because I will say this is, I'm going to admit something that, and it might change. 1883 was definitely this way, but this, I'm not binding myself by any statement quite yet. But this might be a show that if I wasn't essentially, this was not part of my job, I potentially might not watch it.
Where did you leave off? Where did the eyes start getting heavy? Opening credits.
No. Get past the piano scene.
Okay. Piano scene.
Opening credits.
Did you get to the point where they actually, so the Bass and Cheryl are going after a criminal named Charlie on Indian land. And they find him in this house. A woman kind of, one of Charlie's relatives points Bass in the right direction and they find him. There's a shootout. Cheryl gets shot in the arm. Bass tries to go around back. And as he's doing that, Cheryl, the Dennis Quaid character, sets a bomb and ends up setting the house on fire. Charlie comes running out of the house on fire and Bass puts him out of his misery with his gun. This leads to heightened tensions between Bass and Cheryl. Bass ends up punching Cheryl and thinks he's going to get in big trouble for that when he gets back home. And indeed, Cheryl comes galloping up with two men, but instead of arresting him for punching him, he announces that Judge Parker wants to make him a deputy as well. And that's pretty much how it ends. That's pretty much the sum of episode two.
Okay. How many, this airs on November 5th.
Yep.
Yeah.
Aired.
How, what'd you say?
Well, we're going to run this after November 5th. So past tense.
Okay. This aired on November 5th. how many episodes will we be getting per, like, will we normally get to, like, how will this, do you know?
I don't know. I don't know how many they're releasing to the public at a time. We have the first four, and I shot an email asking how many total episodes there are and haven't gotten a response, but I don't have the answer to that. Yeah, TBD. Hopefully just one, because we got ourselves a busy week next week as well.
We do, Billy. This is going to be the week of no sleep.
It is.
And casually, we should invite people to just watch. We should just have a watch party and all watch it together.
Yeah. You guys in the just
over. Billy just moves on next. All right, next topic.
I like a good community gathering.
Do we want to talk? Well, before I transition, do we feel satisfied about Bass Reeves?
I do. I think we hit the high points. We don't know enough about this show yet to really kind of dissect it. So just sort of a description and who the characters are and explaining a few things here and there, I think is probably enough for this. But we asked this a couple of weeks ago, but if you have a strong opinion about the show, email us or let us know in the comments section, because we'll kind of use that reaction to kind of gauge how much we should be talking about Bass Reeves versus Yellowstone 100%. On a week-to-week basis.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
We are on a roll with Yellowstone, which I'm loving, because I know we've talked about before of, maybe we will only get season one, depending on when the newest season of Yellowstone will launch. And so the fact that we're now getting to roll into season two, the gal who has not seen any of them before season four, I'm pumped.
Episode two,
New was, beginnings.
I mean, I feel like I'm saying this about every episode now, and it's reminding me about how good season two was. But I mean, episode two is all about Rip and Casey and their fight and this sort of like lion's fight for who's going to be leading the bunkhouse. John wants mm-hmm. Casey to lead the men. So he asks very vulnerably asks Rip to sort of step down and let Casey do that. And ends up kind of being a big deal, which answers our question we had last week when we asked like, oh, wow, Rip gets to tall John now. How come he doesn't get to do that? And further, this is why. That lasted one episode, and now Rip is back to calling John Dutton sir again because he got demoted in a big way in episode two. And this was hard to watch in a lot of ways, not only because he felt for Rip, but it's like, is this how things really are? Do people really have to fight it out there on the range to get everybody's respect?
I couldn't tell you. But what I did think was interesting and who kind of peeved me. Well, I don't know why you're laughing over there, Billy. What peeved me was Darn Walker not pulling his own weight. He ticked me off in this episode. I was like, bro. But it was interesting. He was distinguishing the fact, which I don't know the answer to this. And actually, I should have Googled it now that I'm saying this out loud. But the difference between he's technically a cowboy, right? Mm-hmm. And everyone else is kind of a rancher.
Am I? Wrangler.
A
Wrangler.
Wrangler? Yeah. I could have sworn Rip said rancher. But anyways, maybe. Wrangler. There's a difference between the two. So pretty much Walker's thinking, well, my job description does not have, you know, repairing a fence right. and all the above, like truly tending to the ranch as part of it. Like, no, I'm good. So that was kind of an interesting. I personally just didn't know that there was a difference.
Yeah, and then you get to Cowboy, who's a day worker, who has his own set of expectations, which involve apparently clipping his fingernails, because he ain't doing nothing that day.
And making out with Beth Dutton.
No, Cowboy I'm talking about. The day worker.
Oh, the actual. Oh,
Yeah. The actual character named Cowboy.
The actual character named Cowboy. You interchanged those two. Mike talking about a cowboy versus Wrangler, and then Cowboy, the actual character. Yeah. Now I'm tracking.
Hey, to you, what struck me about Walker in this episode was his patter, the way he talks, the way Ryan Bingham plays him. I don't remember Ryan Bingham talking like Walker in real life when we talked to him. But he has like this kind of like, man, ain't nothing around here. Huh? It's like the sad sort of,
man.
It's like he watched King of the Hill and married Boomhauer with Hank Hill's voices and said, that is going to be how I'm going to play this character. It's right down the middle.
Y'all should have asked. I can't remember if you interviewed him.
Yeah.
You should have asked him, like, how did you decide on the twang that you chose to use for the show?
It really stood out to me in this episode. And this episode, actually, I went the opposite way with Walker. Like, I'm like, it heartened me to Walker. Like, I like Walker more because of these episodes.
Stand your ground.
But you like him less because of these episodes.
I like him less. I do think it's very, I think this episode just really made me feel like Rip has a lot of displaced anger. And he's ready to take out whoever kind of comes in that path. Walker kind of. And Walker's was 1,000% deserved. He was quite literally just shooting the breeze over as everyone else was, you know, trying to build the fence. But, I mean, the way that Rip was going after him, immediately I was thinking, bro, you've got some displaced anger that you're taking out. It's a lot of it merited. But there's a lot brewing internally that is not correctly funneled.
I'm looking for the quote that Walker tells Rip. He says, well, I reckon I got a fondness for the farmer's daughter. Guess we got that in common, don't we?
And then, boom, 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 boom.
It's like, wow, check out the balls on this one. Woo!
That's one of those that I was like, oh, Walker, if you get punched, I'm so sorry, bro. You asked for that one.
So note the power structure now. Casey and John bring him back to the ranch and say, this isn't how we do things anymore. Just remember sort of that scene because it's going to continue to kind of go on through episodes 4, 5 and beyond and Walker's journey really does reach ahead here pretty quickly in interesting ways.
Well, that's a good point. What are some don't worry about it in episode two of season two?
Well, that's a great question. Jamie's not in the episode at all, I don't think. So apparently you don't have to worry about him in the least bit.
I guess that was episode three with him in.
Yeah. Monica's whole university experiment, I wouldn't worry too much about that. It's clear she's just kind of picking right up where she left off, where she is not going to be the teacher who's a lot of fun. She immediately gets people down in sort of her mood and apologizing and feeling guilty, which is her style at this point in her life.
I think what that facilitates is showing, because they had said, oh, you know, have you not realized that you get a stipend for housing, or there's faculty housing?
True.
And, you know, she's clearly at odds of like, do I really want to do this life with Casey? Do I, you know, clearly living at home is not emotionally stabilizing. And so I think what it helps is it kind of helps create this showing us of like, ooh, there's emotional tension with their marriage. I think that's more so what it feels.
I suppose it's working on sort of some broader picture sort of things with Monica and Casey. I mean, the whole Monica Casey thing at this stage in the relationship, they kind of just flutter back and forth. So it's really hard to tell people to invest wholeheartedly in any of it until we get to like season three or season four. Do you disagree?
I thought what was interesting, something her granddad said was that there was a difference between being married at the courthouse or a ceremony. And he was saying that you chose a ceremony, and so you were bound together in the afterlife. And so pretty much divorce is not on the table. Like, you will always be bound to each other. I just thought that was interesting.
Yeah.
I don't really have anything to say to that. I noted it.
Yeah. Grandpa Felix, and then when he says that, Beth kind of tells Casey a version of the same thing. Like, Felix and Grandpa Grandpa Felix and Beth, they both have similar advice for each other in their own some kind of ways. And like their reunion between Monica and Casey kind of comes together at the end when, in this poorly constructed scene, during physical therapy, John gets mad, pouts, and swims off and is like doing an underwater swim like a child, and he runs into Monica. That was an eye roll. I mean, I watched that. I'm like, oh, they couldn't have figured out a better way to get there. All right, I'll give it to him because that was a great episode. But this is, and then they just kind of stare at each other and the episode ends and we don't have to, after that, it's done with.
Her PT instructor is fine. That's all I do have to say about that.
Well, you know who that is. I kept telling you. Sam from 1883.
That is not Sam from 1883.
Absolutely is.
Really? I would not have been able to figure that out.
Martin Sensmeyer, I believe is his name. Yeah, I kept telling you that he was coming back in. That's who he plays. And then in episode three, to kind of move forward, the PT instructor, he makes his move a little bit. He kind of tries to slide on in there.
Wow. Excited about that. But I will say I'm stalking him. I still don't think I could have Sam's character. I mean, I kind of see it, but I still think it would have taken me a hot second. I mean, as it probably should. It shouldn't be like, oh, there's Sam from 1883. What you doing here in the
Well, I figured it out in reverse. Once I did a lot of cast Googling when we were watching 1883, and that one stuck with me.
He's fine.
All right, back to the show, Addison. Come on back, because we need to talk about episode three, because episode three is the introduction of probably my favorite Yellowstone character of all time, Addison, Yellowstone Universe. Let me introduce you to Malcolm Beck and his brother, the Beck brothers.
Oh.
Two men who are just going to steal every scene and bring about one of the most grisly several of the most grisly Yellowstone scenes in existence. I mean, just buckle up from this point on in this season, because these guys are out of control.
I will say, Sorry to rain on your parade. This episode made me snooze a little bit.
Oh, I can totally see that. But because there hasn't been a lot of action yet. There hasn't been any deaths in season two, as far as I can recall. But it did introduce the Beck brothers, which is really exciting. And Jamie quit the campaign for the attorney general and got dumped by a girl in her underwear.
And the mayor and John had a little bit more than friends moment.
Yeah.
That didn't happen yet before this episode, right?
No. We knew that was happening. Yeah, they did. And she's the governor, not the mayor. You got to keep your political offices straight.
Sorry. No, I do need to keep that straight. Thank you.
It was alluded to, I think, in one of the early episodes of season one where, like, she goes, we should meet for lunch. And he says, I'd like that. And she kind of, like, rubs his shoulder a little bit, sort of like you kind of knew there was something.
The emotion that you just did.
Yeah, it was a little
weird.
I don't
ever do that again.
It was a little creepy, but it was alluded to with this. Oh, no, they did have, because remember Beth got really mad that the governor stayed in her mother's bed and she threw a bit of a fit.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Okay. Totally forgot about that.
Yeah. We knew they were doing it.
I did think the scene where they were talking about, did her husband also die? Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Her husband died too.
Them talking about kind of their former spouses was really sweet. It was tender.
It was. That relationship is really well done. I've always enjoyed watching the two of them on screen. Like, they're both pretty good actors. If we ever got to interview that actress who plays Linnell, Governor Linnell, would it be inappropriate to ask her what's it like to shoot a love scene with Kevin Costner? Would that be an inappropriate question?
No. I think it might sound different if it's coming like male. Like if I asked her that, like it might not come across as creepy and weird. Let me just say that. Like maybe you asking might be a little odd, but like I probably wouldn't ask Kevin Costner. Like you would ask Kevin Costner. You know what I mean? Like there's just some questions that come across differently.
Yeah.
When they're asked by the same sex.
I'm gonna do it while like hugging my body too. Like this.
Billy, stop. I'm so uncomfortable.
Not that we're getting to,
next.
Not that we're getting to talk to her anytime soon, but are you sad to see Christina go? Because she is now kind of,
no.
I mean, she's not running off the show, but Jamie and Christina have broken up. How this comes to be is Jamie comes to realize that he can't beat his father's candidate for attorney general. To do so, he would have to take Chief Rainwater's money, and that's the man who's after his family. He can't do it. He drops out of the race. Christina gets really, really upset with him, kicks him out of the house, and we go from there.
No, because I know how Christina plays a role later in several episodes later. I mean, seasons in Yellowstone, and she's icky. She gives me the ick, and she's slimy.
She's a little bit of a Karen later on. She's not quite there yet, though.
That's good. Yeah,
I mean that's kind of what she becomes. Like she's all business.
A little bit of manipulative, but anyways.
Yeah. Well, she is now as well. So I mentioned the Beck brothers. I should probably explain what they're there for and maybe allude to what's going to happen with them. The Beck brothers, you should look at as two men who have always sort of been there in the background pulling strings. They're very, very wealthy. They own an oil and gas company, and they have interests in a lot of other things. They're borderline mafia. A little bit, because they have like the kind of connections where it's like nobody gets successful in this town without buying me dinner first or something like that. They've not crossed paths with John Dutton previously, but they certainly know of him and they try to stay in their lane. They learn that Dan Jenkins and Thomas Rainwater are building the casino. Very upset by this because they want to build a casino and they have plans for one. So they go pay Dan Jenkins a visit, basically threaten him, tell him to get out of the deal with Rainwater and come make a deal with them. To do that, they tell him they're going to pull his liquor license and they're not going to give him a new liquor license because the one Beck brother is the head of the liquor commission. So they kind of put the fear of God into him. The power struggle now has a third player that we never saw coming. We thought it was just Dan Jenkins and Rainwater versus the Duttons. Well, now it's these Beck brothers and sides will be chosen and there's going to be death and it's going to be ugly. For now, they're just like these really aggressive sort of alpha male business.
Thing one and thing two.
A little. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd say that's an accurate way to describe him, actually. You know what's funny about the Onebeck brother? The actor.
I was like, I don't think Billy's done talking.
The Onebeck brother is, the actor is extremely Christian. Like in his real life, he wouldn't swear. Like he's very, very, like, very, very pious, but he plays these roles where he's this villain. Like mm-hmm. he was in American Horror Story as well, playing a similar role, but it's totally different from his real life personality.
That'd be the question I'd love to ask of, like, do you ever feel a moral conflict, or I don't even know if moral conflict is necessarily the right word, but just, I would like to talk more about that. We don't have an opportunity to talk to them anytime soon, but
I had a chance to talk to him once, but it didn't work out. So we ended up passing on it, but I kind of hope that comes back around.
Oh, it should be awesome.
Before we get to Q&A and trivia, a quick couple of don't worry about it's from this episode.
Oh, yes.
I don't know if there are any, to be honest. Like even the scene with Avery and Jimmy at the store
worry about everything.
with the meth bros, like that becomes an issue here shortly. By the way, did you know what that spray was that Avery hit those guys with?
Not bear spray?
It was bear spray, but I didn't know that until Lloyd said it.
Oh.
I thought that was interesting.
I knew that when I went to Wyoming in June, Billy.
Oh, did you?
They sell it as soon as you get off the airplane.
I did not realize that bear spray was an actual... I thought that was like a myth. Like, I didn't realize that was an actual thing.
That's the first thing that my brothers bought when they went fly fishing in Montana was bear spray. Really, because my mother, of course, you know, they're two grown adult men, but that's her number one concern. Bears, do we have bear spray?
Okay. Well, I didn't know that you could actually just repel a bear like you can a mosquito, but...
I mean, I don't know. Like, there's other things that you probably want to do before you get to that point, but... Yeah, I don't ever want to be in the position to have to try it.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Let's get to trivia and Q&A. I'm getting a message from a coworker that they need the channel, so we need
need to get off. We need to wrap it up. All right. Well, on that note, Billy, remind us all what the trivia question was
Last week's trivia question was, during season 2, episode 1, Monica tries to get a job at the university and reveals her last name used to be Longspear, but it was changed after her father was forced to go to a Catholic school. Why is this familiar? Did you figure it out?
Nope.
Vanessa knew because it is basically the plot of 1923. The one actress's name, she's at that Catholic school, and she's being sort of Americanized, I guess you would say. It's very violent. I forget the character's name, but I remember the actress is Amina Nieves. But that's basically her storyline in 1923. So if you watched that, Vanessa did. She answered correctly. So Vanessa, today is your day. And, you know, I'm just going to keep it mellow, Vanessa, and tell you, have a good day, girl. Keep it up. You're doing great. Nah, hell, Vanessa, go get him, girl. Oh. Woo, proud of you. Woo, get you some Vanessa. A1 kind of day for Vanessa.
Your leaning back just reminded me, and I don't know if we can tell people about it yet, but maybe we can. Do we want to stand up and give a little OOTD, like waist up, or we could, oh, yep, there it is. Y'all, it says train station tours, Yellowstone free shuttle since 1886. Billy, why are you wearing that shirt?
This is a new line of Yellowstone shirts that we've created. Not on sale yet, but will be soon. And when they are, we'll drop the appropriate links.
Keep talking.
But Addison has one as well. We both have the same shirt. Mine is in white. I think that's the color they come in. A very nice fit. A little longer, too. You pointed out this might be nice for women who like to wear leggings because they can cover the rump. Very nice.
Yep.
How do you feel about the word rump? in general.
I was going to let that one go, and I was just going to move on. You just kind of aged yourself a little bit.
For the best.
Your
That's
rump.
Right.
My rump. Well, let's move on to Q&A.
Please.
So we can wrap this up, and whoever needs the channel can get on. Alrighty, I have three for us today. The first one is Lars from Norway.
Yeah, right.
First off, so dang cool. So cool. They say, or Lars says, the cabin John lives. What? That's oh, the cabin John leaves. Nope. It lives. Says the cabin John. Okay, this is not making sense. But anyways, the cabin John lives, Rip, in season two of Yellowstone. Is that the same cabin James Dutton put up when the Duttons first got there?
I think he meant leaves.
I think it's, yeah, yeah. I think it's, or yes.
Well, I mainly pulled this because I was impressed we had a listener in Norway. So Lars, thank you very much for listening. We appreciate
it. Thank you so much.
I might have did you dirty with some spell check there, but the question is still valid. I think the cabin that James builds actually becomes the main house. I think this is sort of a side cabin. I don't think it's Rip's cabin or Lee's cabin. I think the main cabin is what ends up being of the cabin that James Dutton builds. That's how I understand it as well, but I don't know that it's ever been said definitively.
On YouTube, we had one that says, unless and until they actually film something, I don't believe a word Yellowstone production says. Fair.
This is in response to the two new Yellowstone shows. And I do want to add this one caveat, is they saying November 2024 for Yellowstone. But if this strike continues into the spring, I mean, that might get pushed back even further. So you just kind of have to stay sort of flexible with these sort of timelines and be patient or not. A lot of people kind of run out of patience. And I've gotten that expression a lot on some of our content.
People
are just like, I'm sick of this. It's going to be 2 years between shows. Yeah. That's silly. Totally understand.
Yeah. And what's hard is it's not a Yellowstone. It's not a Taylor Sheridan issue. Like he can't do anything about that.
Right.
The last one I have for us is from Melinda, who is also on YouTube. What about 1923 season two?
So this was not mentioned at all in the press release about these new shows and about Yellowstone. It's possible that that actually runs before we get the fifth and final installment of Yellowstone in the fall 2024. So spring, summer, like if the strike ended today and 1923 was the priority, they could go shoot and film and produce it. And we could have 1923 season two by next spring. No one's announced that timeline. To me, that show has to finish before they get to 1944, though. So that's one reason why I think that we'll get 1923 first. Then Yellowstone, and then maybe either 1944 or 2024, but very much remains to be
Brandon's
seen.
Glinner. Yeah.
Yeah. There's eye candy in every episode for you, isn't there? Now you got the PT guy, you got Brandon Sklenner. You know, there's not a lot of good. There's not a lot in Bass Reeves.
Bass had his moment until he got a mustache, and then I said, I'm out.
Yeah, well, he walks around without his shirt, basically the whole, he's always, and he is just chiseled. Is that how men, like regular farmers, were like in the early 19th century? Like, I get they were in shape because they were so much more physical, but were they that ripped? Was everybody just jacked back then?
Well, I don't know about jacked, but I will say, like, I'm assuming they were not eating like kings and queens, and so therefore you're in a caloric deficit and you're expending a lot of, not to go into nutrition over here, but they're expending more than they're intaking, and so they probably were very low body fat. Now, granted, Bass Reeves looks like he's been really upping his protein intakes. Mm-hmm. So I think they'd be more lean and chiseled, not bulked and chiseled.
He's a good looking man.
That's just my two cents. Well, on that note, Billy, y'all, this episode of the Dutton Rules Yellowstone podcast is another investigative Town Square Media podcast.
You want to do it again? Because, I mean, that was a good one. And I'd hate to just, I mean, stumble through it. So from the top, take two.
Boop. I know. I stumbled through the last because I got a little excited. And then I was watching your face to see your reaction. And then I forgot. I was like, who do we work for? Oh, right. Town Square. Okay. This episode was another investigative Town Square Media podcast.
Well done, Addison. You put some thought into that one.
Thank you. I did. I came prepared, Billy. Thanks, y'all, for listening.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.